Bien, nous accueillons Léo Weyer, donc, qui est des Pays-Bas, qui fait partie des héros de la communication scientifique. Il a déjà eu des prix de Spark Europe et des choses dans ce genre-là. Il a été jusqu'à récemment un des ouvriers, des acteurs de Surf, qui est une des grandes organisations des Pays-Bas, un peu particulière, très difficile à décrire, qui est à la fois du couperin et tout un tas d'autres choses en même temps. Et qui donc va nous parler, alors voilà le sous-titre, Libraries at the Crossroads. Quels sont leurs rôles aujourd'hui à nos bibliothèques et quels sont les rôles des bibliothécaires maintenant?
Merci. Je m'excuse de ne pas parler français, alors pas suffisant pour donner une présentation. Je suis désolé. On the other hand, the subject of my presentation is money. And money is not a very cultural or intellectual subject, so maybe the French language wouldn't be appropriate anyway to discuss this. First, a few introductory slides. An overview of the current leading publishing models. The classical subscription model, the brand new hybrid open access model, and the more, not classical, but yet it is with us for 1.5 decade now, the open access model. And the champions in these three models, you may think of Elsevier for the subscription model, Springer for the hybrid OA model, and PLOS for the open access model. I know there are quite a few more business models around. Yesterday, I was at a workshop in EC workshop in Brussels about new business models, and there were presented quite a few, and we have seen some of them this morning. But all of these new business models either concern a very limited number of journals or are in an experimental stage. These three are more or less stable and quite big. First, let's have a look at what do these models sell actually. The subscription model sells licenses to read for huge packages of journals, hundreds of journals, maybe sometimes over 1,000 journals. The hybrid OA model does the same, but then a license to write instead of reading. And the open access model is a service directed on single articles. They deliver a service for single articles, peer review, and language editing. The contractual side is also different. The subscription model is about multi-year contracts. The prices are very high, but kept secret. It is the library who pays, and you have to pay every year in advance. In November, you have to pay for the next year. The hybrid open access model is, in that respect, exactly the same. Multi-year contract. Prices are even higher. The new Springer deal in the Netherlands was more expensive than the subscription deal because the publisher wanted to be compensated for the loss of subscriptions of private companies in the open access world. So they required a higher price, and they got it. The open access model is on a case-by-case basis, article-by-article basis. Prices are very confusing, from zero up to 4,000 euro. It is the research funder who pays, and by funder I mean either the university or the research council or other funders. And you pay upon delivery. With respect to the copyright, in the classical subscription model, the copyright belongs exclusively to the publisher. In both the open access models, it stays with the author. And finally, the public use. In the subscription model, it is payable. I'm not an academic anymore, so if I want to read an Elsevier article, I have to pay $30. In the open access models, it is free. As a percentage of the market, today. Subscription is 60%, but it's going down all the time. Hybrid is coming up, it's 20% more or less, and open access is also 20%. Looking to these three models from a different point of view, the hybrid is more or less the child of both subscription and OA. The DNA, it got some DNA from the subscription model, so the green things on the left side, it's a license-based model, it is about a package, multi-year contract, secret pricing, the library pays, and it is prepaid. On the other hand, it got the open access DNA from the OA model. The copyright belongs to the author, and you can read for free. My presentation will be focusing on that red text box down there. What's happening there? We know that the classical business model is based on a monopoly, author copyright monopolies. We know that the open access model is based on a market for services. But what's happening there in that text box below? A lot of people say, well, it's not so interesting because the hybrid model is transitional. It's just a step on the way to open access. My question is, oh yes, is that so? Is that really so? Let's have a look at the stakeholders. Who is interested in making the next step to open access? Publishers are not. For them, that new hybrid model is perfect. It's exactly the same as the old subscription model, prepaid, long-year contract, guaranteed price index, and so on. So why should they move and make the next step to open access? We see actually the move in the other direction. More and more open access publishers settle memberships for a longer period. So this is also multi-year contracts with guaranteed price increase, etc. So they are moving from, in fact, from the right to the left. Authors, are they interested in making the next step? No, why should they? They have open access in that hybrid world, and for them it's free. So they can just select the journal they want, irrespective of the price, just like in the old days, in the subscription model, and in the open access world they have to pay a publication fee. So they might not be interested in making that next step either. Libraries, there I'm less certain. It highly depends on the ambitions of a library. The hybrid model is for libraries very, very easy. The only thing they have to do is collect money from the university and transfer it to the publisher. And sooner or later, the university will say, well, we don't need the library for that anyway. Our financial department can pay the invoice of the publisher directly. Why should we use the library as an intermediary for that? Ambitious libraries might have another view. They could organize a market in open access publishing, and I come to that in a moment. But I'm not so sure how many ambitious libraries there are these days. Libraries, to me, seem a bit fatigued overall. Maybe they are at the end of their life cycle. And then the funder. What's the interest of the funder? Well, the funder pays anyway. And by funder, again, I mean both universities and research councils and charities, all those who fund research. They pay the bill anyway. In the hybrid world, they pay the library and the library pays the publisher. In the open access world, they subsidize authors via a specific fund or as part of the the project budget. So the funder might be quite agnostic in this respect and also not wanting to move from hybrid to open access. But that's only the principle side, the qualitative side. But there is a quantitative side as well. If we look at this, there have been a couple of studies by Bo Christian Björk from Finland and David Solomon from the United States, very in-depth studies about pricing in the open access world. And they make a distinction between three categories of journals. There are a lot of journals, open access journals, that do not charge at all. In fact, they are the majority. More than 50% of the open access journals does not charge. Unfortunately, it are small journals, niche journals for very specific groups. It are not very big journals. Then you have the category of the fee-based open access journals. Average price is below 1,000 euro. And the hybrid journals, the average price is three times as much. And yesterday at the workshop in Brussels, these figures were confirmed overall. So remember, hybrid is three times as expensive as OA. The quality also varies widely. We have the predatory journals with no quality at all, they don't do anything, up to the top journals at the other end of the spectrum. So both prices and quality varies widely. And that can only lead to one conclusion. There is a need for a market situation where you can compare price versus performance for the different journals. We need a marketplace. To my pleasant surprise, I saw that idea confirmed not very long ago by the strategy director of All Persons from the Nature Publishing Group. She says, "We do firmly believe a benefit of open access is the transparency in the cost of publishing, which enables authors to see upfront what each journal charges and make an informed decision based on the service the journal offers." Again, pointing in the direction of a market. Well, here is the answer. The market is there now. Quality open access market. It's based on the following principles: academic crowdsourcing, so independent of publishers, it is academia who builds this market. The judgments are calibrated via journal scorecards. There are two of them, and I will come to that in my next slide. So not only free text judgments, but very well-defined judgments, question after question. Quality open access market gives transparent price information, and it includes both open access and hybrid journals. We had a very long discussion about the inclusion of hybrid journals. A lot of people who try to neglect those hybrid journals. The pricing is very high, so some funders say we are not prepared to fund publication in hybrid journals. It's way too expensive. And we neglect them. We said, no, you should not neglect them. Include them in your market situation and show how expensive they are and make authors choice between very expensive and less expensive journals. And in that way, you might force the pricing of the hybrid journals to go down. So that's a different approach we have chosen for including the hybrid journals in the marketplace. We have two instruments to measure the quality, in a way. The base journal scorecard and the valuation journal scorecard. The base journal scorecard is a questionnaire with 18 questions, leading to a score between 1 and 5. And that is analyzing the website of a journal, the transparency of the website of a journal, with respect to four aspects: editorial info, peer review, policy of the journal, and the workflow. Usually it is completed by libraries, and it takes 15 to 20 minutes. 3 to 4 journals can be judged per hour with this tool. In fact, what libraries could do here, and that's what I was referring to when I told you about the difference between ambitious and less ambitious libraries. Libraries already did quality monitoring during history, until the turn of the century, when they built a collection for their institute, they had to monitor and judge quality. But it stopped because of the big deals. You could only buy a whole package of journals, and you could not make a selection anymore based on quality and price. So, in fact, they can resume their old professional role here, if they wish so, and if they are able to do that. I'm not so sure for all the libraries. The other one is the valuation scorecard. It's only 4 questions, again leading to a score from 1 to 5, and it is an experience-based reality check done by authors and editors. Have you published in the journal, and what is your experience? Takes only 2 minutes. Can be done by authors spontaneously, but quite recently we have included a super simple tool to invite authors. You have published in that journal recently. Would you please share your experience with your colleagues? So what does this lead to? How do we use these outcomes? We distinct 4 categories of journals. When both scores are high, we say it is a strong journal. When both scores are low, it's a weaker journal. But there are 2 other interesting categories. When the base score is high, meaning that the website is okay, gives good information, promising information, but the valuation score is low, authors are dissatisfied, then that's a warning. That might be a predatory journal, for example. So that's a threat. Be aware. Your colleagues are not satisfied with this journal, although the website looks fine. The other side is the opportunity. Authors are satisfied, but the website is not too good. That's an opportunity to publishers. Improve your website so that your journal may move up from the blue category to the green category. The quality open access market has 2 doors, 2 entrances. One for people who want to complete a scorecard. This is this one here, this door. Enhancing QAM. And one for authors who are looking for a journal to publish their article in. 1 minute view. There it is. So what you see here is the quality open access market has 18,000 journals that can be scored. This is a button for publish a base scorecard. This is the button for publish evaluation scorecard or invite someone to do so. I will not go through the whole scorecard because that would take too long, but what you see here is that you have to log in. So the scoring the journals is only permitted for people from the academic community. The check is whether your email address has an academic domain name. So we want the scores only from within academia and not from outside people. Just enough about this, because we have... No, unfortunately, I cannot show you the scorecards itself, but you can have a look yourself, of course. And when you go here, you see that almost 2,500 journals do have a score at the moment. It's growing all the time. Let's see what the result is. Here you see the colors. This, most of them are green, top journals. Two of them do not have such a color, because for having a color, you need both a base scorecard and a valuation scorecard. And these two journals here do have a base scorecard, but not a valuation scorecard yet, are waiting for it. If you look here, what you see is, it is a green journal. This is an interesting thing. This is the DOAJ seal of approval. So DOAJ is a certification organization for journals. And we upload every week the icon of the journals that are accredited by DOAJ. So you can find that in Quality Open Access Market as well. Another one is this one. We give information about a lot of things. Among others, I said, transparent price information. So with respect to prices, we give the price published on the website, 1,800 euro. We give the price that has been recently paid by an author. So for this journal, there is no such figure at the moment. But we also give the result of the new open access licenses. For example, the Erasmus University in Rotterdam does have such a license for this journal. And that results in a discount of 15% on the publication fee. So for all the journals, we register what the effects of the licenses, of the new licenses, is. You may find that as well. Just one. So here you have an example of a journal that has a lot of valuation scorecards. This is PLOS One. And you see here that already more than 10 authors have completed a valuation scorecard. And then the program calculates the average score, of course. So back to my PowerPoint. This brings me to my final slide, the take-home message. Please spread the word. QOM is an academic self-help instrument. It fully depends on the contributions of libraries, authors, and journal editors. It is independent of publishers. And as you have seen today, more than 2,400 journals do have a score. So actually, that's what I had to tell. But not really. Not really. The Colombo effect, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
the Inspector Colombo
well, yeah.
effect. One more question. What if the publishing market stays away, if there is no market? I'm convinced that we will have open access anyway. The move into the direction of open access is too strong. But it will be at an excessive price then, without a market. So we will have open access, but spelled differently in that case. So remember, hybrid is three times as expensive as OA. You hear the rhythm? We could say that all together. Hybrid is three times as expensive as OA. If that's the only thing that you remember from this presentation, it's more than enough. Hybrid is three times as expensive as OA. Hybrid is three. Okay, thank you.
Yes, I have a question or rather comment on this aspect hybrid is transitional or not, those who forward this argument, and this was still done yesterday by the Max Planck Society in Brussels, they say that it is transitional if it includes this so-called offsetting principles, this kind of compensation for APCs already paid by authors. This is one point, and the second point, a bit related to that, when you mentioned the Springer negotiations in the Netherlands and the slightly higher price obtained by Springer, as far as I know it, also it was also a slightly higher price because it allowed Dutch authors to publish without APCs in these Springer journals. Isn't this the case?
Yes, that's true. So basically, the library, or in this example, the National Consortium of Libraries, they pay the full price. So they pay the old subscription price plus something extra, a percentage. I know the percentage, but I'm not allowed to tell it. And then authors can publish for free. But what means free here? In the old days, readers could read the journals for free. Yeah, what means free? Their institution had to pay what it did cost. So I think that the only step forward should be that at the end of the year, all the authors who have published their article in a Springer journal, you count the number. Imagine 1,000 articles. You see what you have paid for this license. Let's say 1 million. Then you know it has cost 1,000 euro per article. And you should invoice the authors for that. So force them to compare the price of a Springer publication with a PLOS publication. If you don't do that, you are distorting the market. Because Springer is fully subsidized then, and PLOS gets nothing, has to be paid for directly from the research budget. So both the authors will question that. Why is Springer for free and PLOS not? But publishers like PLOS might also question that. They might knock on the door of the institute and say, why do you subsidize Springer on an annual basis, every year? Why don't you subsidize us and make it for free for the authors as well? So we will have a debate there, absolutely. It's not the end of the debate yet. It is we are at the beginning of that debate. And I'm not so sure that hybrid will be transitional. But time will learn.
Merci, thank you. Je crois qu'on va passer directement la parole à David Ponti avec une salve d'applaudissements pour Léo Weyer qui a fait la présentation.